We can open our Bibles again at that passage that we read in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1. And with Daniel chapter 1, and we see in this book, the opening chapter, it begins with a sad event in the history of Judah. During the reign of King Jehoiakim, we have him mentioned for us there in the opening verse, the city of Jerusalem had been besieged, and it had been conquered. Judah had fallen into great sin, and we see that if we compare with 2 Kings and the chapter number 23. 2 Kings chapter 23. And we read there in the verse 36, we have some information about Jehoiakim. And it says, Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Sabuda, the daughter of Pedaiah of Ruma. But then note verse 37. It says, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. Jehoiakim was an evil king, and he had followed in the footsteps of his fathers. And many of the kings of Israel and Judah, they had received a similar summary of their reign, that they had done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Israel, as in 2 Kings 17, you read that Israel had been conquered by the Assyrian Empire as a result of their sin. And Judah had lasted a little while longer. But again, due to their sinfulness, they had faced such a judgment as we see if we continue in the 2 Kings chapter 24. For it says in verse 2, and the Lord sent against him. The Lord sent the armies of Nebuchadnezzar against Judah. It says, and the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldees, and bands of the Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servants the prophets. Surely at this commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah, to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did. Judah was punished for their sin. And sin always has consequences. And that theme is shown right through the word of God. From when Adam, he took of that forbidden fruit, and sin entered into the world, right through to the present day, there have been consequences for sin. Maybe consequences that have an earthly effect. Or maybe consequences that have an effect that is eternal. We can think of such scriptures such as Romans 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Both physical death, which entered at the fall, but also eternal death, which is an eternity spent lost in hell forever. But whenever Nebuchadnezzar, he conquered Jerusalem, he plundered the city, he sacked the city and took of the riches of the temple and brought them back to Babylon. But he did not just take of those material possessions. He also took many young Hebrews with him back to the city of Babylon. These Hebrews, they were exiled from their home. They were taken to the capital city of their conqueror. And there they were to be trained up. They were to be prepared and educated to stand in the king's palace. They were being prepared for various roles in the governance of the empire. And among those exiles was a man by the name of Daniel, the man whose name this book bears, the man who was the author of this book in the scriptures. I'm sure this character, he's no stranger to us. And I'm sure many of you have perhaps come through children's meetings and Sunday schools in your younger days, and you've heard of Daniel and the various stories that are told of his life, such as in Daniel chapter 6, where you have him in the lion's den. But there is much that we can learn from his life. And this first chapter, it records for us a great conflict that he encountered. For he was forced to choose between obeying God and obeying man. This morning I wish to take as my text the verse number 8. Verse 8 which reads, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And I want to consider just a few thoughts that we can glean from Daniel's confrontation. And firstly, we see the compatriots in the confrontation. And Daniel was clearly the main character here. He was clearly the leader in this confrontation. He was the one who was taking the lead. Our text in verse 8, it shows that he purposed in his heart. But there were also others who took a stand alongside him. There was others who followed his lead. And sometimes it takes a Daniel to take a stand, to show courage or to take the plunge, to put his neck on the line, to put his head above the parapet, to take that stand for others to follow. We think of David and Goliath, and we think of how the children of Israel, or the armies of Israel, they were afraid. They fled from the face of Goliath. But when David, having been given courage and strength by the Lord, stood against Goliath and defeated him, the armies of Israel advanced and they defeated the Philistine army. But the names of these compatriots are listed for us. And we tend to remember their names by the names that the Babylonians gave them. But in the scriptures, we also have their Hebrew names. We have, firstly, we have Daniel, and then his Babylonian name was Belshazzar. But his Hebrew name meant, God is my judge. And does that not remind us of the fact that God is the one who will judge the world? He is the one who is the judge of the earth. Does that not remind us that it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who will be the judge that we read of, who will sit on that great white throne in Revelation chapter 20? Then Hananiah, his name means, God is gracious to me. And does the Lord not show grace unto us? Mishael, he that is the strong God. We think of how the Lord is sovereign. We think of how he created all things. We think of how he parted the Red Sea whenever the children of Israel were being taken out of Egypt. The Lord is strong. And then we have Azariah. And his name means, God is my help. And that draws us really to two Psalms. Psalm 124 and the verse 8, where we read, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Then Psalm 121 and the verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. It has been suggested, though, that the change of name for these Hebrews, it was done in order to help facilitate a change of religion, to try and to bring the Jews into a conformity with the pagan religion of Babylon. Each of these Jewish names, as we've just given the meaning of them, each of them contains the name of God. They would have reminded these young men of the Lord God, whom they were to serve. It may have seemed quite a harmless thing just to simply change a name, give them just a different name. But there's no doubt that it was a most subtle attempt to influence these Hebrews to leave their religion. We must be aware that the devil, he is active, and he is often trying to attack in subtle and discreet ways. He often attacks in ways that seem very small and unimportant. But when we think of the change that was done here in the book of Daniel, they tried to change their names. They changed their diet. They sought to change their religion. But we think of, does the devil, does he not try to change things? Does he not try to change how we worship? Does he not try to change how we interpret scripture? Does he not try to get us to water it down? To say that, oh well, this verse doesn't mean that and that verse doesn't mean this. He tries to change our views on those commands of scripture. And this morning we must be on our guard. Times may change, but God's word never changes. We think of 1 Peter 5, verse 8. We are to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is on the offensive, and we must be on our guard. But may we always remember the Lord and his mercy towards us. May we never forget what Christ has done in love, coming to the cross, dying and shedding his blood, in order to make that way of salvation for us. May we never forget it. But then we see as well, when we look at these young men, these compatriots of Daniel, we see their age. These men, they were young. And most scholars, they would be of the opinion that at this point, that Daniel and his friends, they were nothing more than just teenagers. They were young men or boys. They were not men of great experience, men who perhaps had served in the army of Israel for 20, 30, 40 years. They were really just children. But yet, despite their tender years, and we could say despite their relative inexperience, they still stood for the Lord. There are many today, and they think that only those who can serve the Lord, or those who can stand for the Lord, or those who are older. But yet here are some young men, and they're standing for the Lord. They're serving the Lord. My friend, whenever you're young, there is no better time to turn to the Lord for salvation. Whenever you're young, that is the best time to start serving the Lord, and you can give a whole lifetime of service unto Him. And there is no better time than when you are young to learn the truths of Scripture. And we could say that, as it were, to nail your colors to the mast, that you are a believer in the Word of God, that you have placed your faith and trust in Christ, and that you are going to honor Him in your life. Young people, where do you stand with the Lord this morning? Can you say that you are standing for the Lord like these young men are, or these young men were? Do you diligently study the Scriptures? Do you seek to serve the Lord? Have you turned to Him for salvation? Have you turned to the Lord for His salvation that is so wondrous, that it is so full and free, that can wash away every sin? Have you asked Him to save you? When you're young, there are many decisions that will be made that will have an effect upon your entire life. And these young men, they made decisions here at this young age that glorified God. And they showed their faithfulness to God. And those decisions, they had an effect on the rest of their lives. They carried this faithfulness through for the rest of their lives. We think of, I think it's chapter 3 where you read of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And when they were cast into the fiery furnace for refusing to bow down to the golden idol that Nebuchadnezzar had made. They went through with the Lord. We think of Daniel in chapter 6, and how he was thrown into the lion's den. Why? Because he refused to obey the king's decree about praying to Him. He continued to pray to the Lord. These men, they were characterized by their faithfulness. They chose to stand for the Lord, though, in this confrontation at a young age. Whenever you're young, did you stand for the Lord? Young people, are you standing for the Lord? Are you seeking to make those decisions that honor the Lord? We ought to stand for the Lord no matter what our age is, whether we be young or whether we be old. We ought not to be afraid of the consequences. We've just mentioned how that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace. We've said how Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. What great consequences they were, but yet the Lord preserved them and undertook for them. Likewise, we should not be afraid of the consequences, but rather we should seek to honor the Lord. These young men, they were not just taking a stand, perhaps among family and among friends, but they were taking a stand against the king. They were taking a stand against what the king appointed. And back in those days, the world was such that if you went against the king, it was very likely that you would be put to death. But yet these men, they did not have fear. They stood for the Lord. They could easily have backed down. They could easily have conformed like the rest of their countrymen. But no, they stood firm on our principles. Oh, may we seek to stand firm like these men. Then we see their attributes. If we look at verse 4, we read, it says, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. These were children who had been gifted in many different ways. They had understanding. They had knowledge. They had great gifts given to them. But yet they also had a teachable spirit. And we can make a side point and say that we ought to have that same teachable spirit when it comes to the Word of God. And when the Word is presented to us, we ought to seek to take it in and to be taught by the Word. We ought to be willing to hear what God has to say to us. But yet these young people, they also had something else. Because their trust was in the Lord. And they were not afraid of the confrontation. My friend, this morning, is your trust in the Lord? Are you trusting in Him this morning? Jeremiah 17, and the verse 7, it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Are you trusting in the Lord this morning? Is your hope in the Lord this morning? Are you resting completely on Him? Have you trusted in Him for your soul's salvation? These men, these four men, they trusted completely in the Lord. That was the greatest, I suppose, attribute of their character that they had. But we've seen there the compatriots in this confrontation. We then note, secondly, the characteristics of this confrontation. And we ask, why were they taking such a strong stand? Why did they stand so firm upon these convictions? Quite simply, they were convicted that what they were being asked to do went against the commands of God. There's been much speculation as to the exact details of what the particular problem was. It may have been that the food was unclean, or that it, because it was sacrificed to idols beforehand, there's been various views put forth. But the one thing we can state that is certain is that if Daniel and his three friends had taken off the portion of the king's meat or off the wine which he drank, they would have defiled themselves. It would have been disobeying and dishonoring the Lord. Thus, they had to refuse. They had to obey God. They obeyed God rather than man. And we see that in this confrontation, we see that their stand, it was earnest and sincere. It was committed. Daniel's heart was set. We mentioned that, we see in verse 1, but Daniel purposed in his heart. He had purposed in his heart that he was going to stand for the Lord, come what may. He was determined. He was committed. His heart was fixed in standing for God. Our text, it says there that he would not defile himself. It shows firmness. He was giving a firm no. Though we need firmness whenever we are resisting the temptations of the wicked one. We think of the words of James 4, verse 7, where it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We think of how the Lord was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And how did he counter it? He quoted the word of God to him. He quoted scripture. He resisted the devil by quoting the scriptures. And it did not matter to these young men that it seemed that eating the king's food was the way to get on in society. No. All that mattered to these young men was being faithful to God and obeying the Lord, no matter what the consequences would be. But we also see that this stand, it was a lonesome stand. These young men, these four men, they stood alone. It appears that the rest of the Jewish children who were taken from Jerusalem, that they conformed with what was taking place. They went along with the food that they were given. Daniel, at the start, he stood alone before being joined by his three friends. But it was a lonesome stand for these four young men. In the Christian life, when you stand for the truth of the Word of God, it can also be very lonesome. It may be that you're the only believer in a workplace. Maybe that you're the only believer in university or in school or wherever else you may be. You may find that you are mocked and you are ridiculed for that. You may be considered unpopular because you are standing for the Lord. It can be lonely. It is a great trial to face. Perhaps these young men, they may have even been ridiculed by their own countrymen for taking such a strong stand. It may be the case that other professing Christians, that others who you would expect better off, may be ridiculing you for your stand, saying, "Oh, you don't need to worry about that. You've got this all wrong." Sadly, there are many who profess and they're just happy to go along with the flow. They're happy to conform and to compromise, and they don't like any sort of confrontation or controversy. But yet, when we look at Scripture, we find that those great men of God, they are the non-conformists. They are the ones who are not compromisers. They are ones who are not afraid of controversy if it was for the cause of Christ. Even though many did not stand with them, even though many did not stand with these four men, they still stood for the truth of the Lord. And the Lord was with them. The Lord encouraged them. The Lord gave them strength to continue standing. And if you stand for the Lord will give you strength and he will give you help. These men, they stood for the truth of God's word despite the loneliness of their stand. They did not water it down. This morning, oh, that we would not conform, but rather that we would seek the Lord for strength to continue standing for his truth. And that leads us to another characteristic, which was that their stand that took place in a very hostile environment. This confrontation that took place in the city of Babylon, it did not take place in the Hebrews' home country or in the city of Jerusalem. They may have been perhaps more comfortable standing on their own turf, as we could say. But no, they were in a foreign land with all the various difficulties and all the various things that would come with that. And we could maybe imagine in our heads the discouragement that they must have faced having seen their land conquered by the Babylonians. They'd seen the enemy come in and wipe out their nation. And it wasn't just that they were a conquered nation. They were then taken from their homes, perhaps taken from families, perhaps taken from their brothers and their sisters. Across, I think, if memory serves me right, it was maybe a 500-mile journey from Jerusalem to the city of Babylon. How discouraging that must have been. What a great trial that was. But yet, despite all that they faced, they still stood firmly for the Lord. Despite that great hostile environment that was before them. Maybe today that you have been facing great hostility as you seek to live your life for the Lord, as you seek to stand for him. But do not let that discourage you from honoring the Lord by standing, seeking to live your life for him. But when we see that this was a hostile environment, we note another important characteristic of their stand. And that was that their stand, it was courteous. These men, they were not rude. They did not seek to start a major argument or to stir the pot. No, rather, they were most courteous and gentlemanly. There's no doubt that Daniel was not going to partake of the king's food, whether or not the prince of the eunuchs approved. But he still showed respect. It was proper that he did speak to Ashpenaz, for he was the one who was in charge of these young men's training and their education, and then to Melzar, who was over him and his friends. We see that in verse 10, verse 11. But likewise, whenever we stand for the Lord, we ought to still have those proper manners. Yes, we are to be dogmatic and firm. Daniel here, he was dogmatic and firm. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. There was going to be no negotiation about it. But yet he was still gracious. He was dignified. There's one preacher and he stated that firmness of purpose should be adorned with gentleness of manner in carrying it out. It must be said that good manners go a long way, whether it's standing for the Lord or whether even if it's in door-to-door outreach or outreach in the streets. Often if you're rude or you're impolite to people, they will not want to hear what you have to say. But even if someone does not want to hear what you have to say, if you're polite, if you have good manners, perhaps the next person who comes to speak to them about the gospel may get a positive response from them. But if you're rude, they will not want to hear the message of the gospel. Ill-mannered and rude individuals, they do much damage to the cause of Christ. And may we always seek to be courteous and mannerly as we stand for the Lord. May our evangelism, may it be characterized by the fruit of the Spirit that we read there in Galatians chapter 5. Daniel had a great character. He was a man with great characteristics. And those characteristics, the fact that he was gracious and he was courteous, and it must have been a factor in the Lord bringing him into favor with the prince of the eunuchs. And it helped to get this situation sorted out. We could perhaps draw a comparison with Joseph. Joseph was a man who was sold into slavery in Egypt. And when he was in Potiphar's house, he was there really as a slave or a servant. But yet, due to those great characteristics that he had, he became the chief servant. And then in the prison, he became a trusted prisoner, as shown in Genesis 22. But then note it also involved self-denial. Daniel and his compatriots, they denied themselves the luxurious food of the king. But rather they took of the pulse or the vegetables and the water, really very ordinary food. Standing for the Lord, there must be self-denial. These men denied themselves the luxurious food because it would have been dishonoring to the Lord. My friend, if you're going to stand for the Lord, you must deny yourself the pleasures of the world. Those pleasures, they will last for a season. My friend, if you turn to the Lord, His salvation is eternal. Scriptures tell us that the Lord said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We are to be a holy people. And it must be stated that the Christian life, it's not an easy walk in the park. These men, they could testify to the fact that it wasn't easy, for we've mentioned already of the various trials that they faced. And it may be that we face great trials. But whenever we come to face those trials in life, may we rejoice that even in those trials, we can consider what the Lord has done for us in coming to this world and giving off His life and shedding His blood in order to atone for the sins of His people. This morning, are you willing to deny yourself? Are you willing to deny all and to set aside all those things of the world to follow the Lord? Are you willing to deny your own self-righteousness and to trust completely on the Lord Jesus Christ? If you purposed in your heart that you will publicly and privately obey the commands of God, are you willing to take a stand like Daniel and his friends here? Think of the words of Matthew chapter 16 and the verse 24. Matthew 16 verse 24. And it reads that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. He says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." My friend, have you denied yourself? Have you took up the cross and have you sought to follow Christ? Or are you still dabbling in those things of the world and following those things that are sinful? We must move on for the sake of time. But thirdly, we see the conclusion of this confrontation. We see that in this contest that took place, and we really start to read about it from verse 12 down to the end of the chapter. There was a contest that took place which further it displayed their faith. We said that they desired to be fed the ordinary common food, the pulse and the vegetables. And then they were to be compared to the other students and they were to be examined by the king. But these men, they believed that God would honour their faithfulness. Their faith was not one that was fake. It was not a faith that would not stand up to scrutiny, but it was true and it was genuine. Then we see as well that God, He blesses those who honour Him. These men, they were not presumptuous in how they acted, but they believed that God would honour them for their stand. 1 Samuel and the chapter number 2 and the verse 30. It says, "The Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honour me, I will honour. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." The end of the contest, these men, they were brought in and examined alongside the other students. Verses 19 to 20 tells us the results. The 4 says that they were brought in and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. There was none found like them. Then verse 20, it tells us that the king found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers that were in all of his realm. The Lord blessed these young men for their faithfulness. He blessed them for standing for Him. In the remainder of the book, we see furthermore how they were continued to be blessed. We think of how Daniel rose to that position high up in the government in Daniel chapter 6. He was one of the chief ministers. We think of verse 21, it says there, "And Daniel continued." May we continue this morning seeking to stand for the Lord. And may we stand wherever and whenever we have the opportunity to stand. And may we never take the easy road and just conform to what the rest of the world is doing. But rather may we stand firm on the word of God. A friend, if you're outside of Christ this morning, take careful consideration for your soul. We began by highlighting the conquering of Judah as a judgment for sin. It was because of sin, so sin brings judgment. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The book of James tells us that. And friend, this morning, there's only one way where you can avoid that judgment that is due for sin. How is that? It is by turning to the Lord for salvation. My friend, will you repent and believe the gospel this morning? Will you consider your latter end? Will you consider where you will spend eternity? Or will you just carry on as normal, carry on through your life, as though you've never even considered the message of the gospel? I trust the Lord will bless this word to our hearts this morning. Let's just bow and